everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face.
Life's a happy song, and there's someone by my side to sing along.
We're gonna hear this all day, but this is not what Sydney summers normally like.
I know, that's what I keep hearing, but it's all I've seen, it's all I know.
So welcome to Australia.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on the success of The Muppets so
Thanks.
Far. And can I just say on a personal note that I don't think I've walked out of a film with a bigger smile on my face in a long time.
That's what we were going for.
Exactly. And so look, my understanding is, of course, you approached Disney with Nick Stoller.
I did.
So what was it, I guess, what was the seed that drove the passion for The Muppets?
Well, I mean, I've been passionate about The Muppets since I was a kid. But I guess what got this process started was the end of Sarah Marshall. We had that lavish Dracula puppet musical, and the Henson Company designed those puppets. And so it was working with the Henson Company and being around those puppeteers and just reminding myself how much I loved puppetry that sort of lit the fire under me to try to bring the Muppets back to the big screen.
And, I mean, you introduced a new character, I guess, here, which... was there an enormous amount of pressure? Did you feel introducing something new into that world? Did you feel as though that you were tampering with the myth?
No, because I kind of felt like that character was necessary. He's the eyes and the ears of the audience. And he's sort of an analog for the experience Nick and I had. He's a wide-eyed innocent who just loves the Muppets, the biggest Muppet fan in the world, who when he finds the Muppets, they're in a state of disrepair to some extent. And... feels the need to get the Muppets back together and put on a big show to remind people how great the Muppets are. I mean, it literally is what Nick and I were doing in real life. And so we felt like that was an appropriate character to have to sort of serve as the vehicle to tell this story.
And one of the other things that I guess is fantastic about the film, and I got to admit to having the soundtrack on high rotation.
Oh, nice!
So the music. So obviously, like, you've had experience. With forgetting Sarah Marshall and getting to the Greek,
yes.
And written music before. With this one, writing with Brett McKenzie, which is fantastic.
Yeah, amazing.
When you were writing the script, did you sort of have an idea of the types of songs you had in mind at the start?
Yeah, and the way we wrote the songs, though, is they were, in our script, they were just placeholders. We actually, for Life's a Happy Song, we didn't write any music or even lyrics. What we would write was big block descriptions of text, like they begin to sing a song about how everything is great, but subtextually we see that everything is not great. They march out onto Main Street, people start falling behind them, a circus arrives, you know. So we wrote in very broad general terms, and then we let Brett McKenzie take it from there as a blueprint, and then he completed the painting, you know.
So did you have, like, particular influences, like, in those sort of big musical numbers that you had sort of envisaged in writing those? Were there particular things that you were looking at?
Well, there are the big musical numbers from the original Muppet movies, which really got us. The opening of Great Muppet Caper, It's a Movie, I think it's called, or Hey, a Movie, is a great song the whole town sings. So that was definitely on our mind. You know, and then Manhattan Melodies from Muppets Take Manhattan is a lavish musical, and so those things. And then also, I was really influenced by movies like Singing in the Rain. The old MGM-style musical numbers, I've always wanted to take part in those. Donald O'Connor, Make 'em Laugh.
Favorite scene ever.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly amazing. And so those were always in my mind, too.
Yeah. Is there a divide between what you write and then the actual technical, having to pull that off with the Muppets?
When you're writing, you sort of try to be unbridled in terms of your imagination. And then you realize you're going to have to actually film this with inanimate puppets and puppeteers everywhere. And the logistics of that became a bit overwhelming. We had a scene where we pictured 10, where Gonzo blows up the building, 10 full-figured Muppets running in slow motion away from a building that's exploding behind them. And then we were asked, by like the guy who arranges the puppet choreography, like, well, how do you have any idea how you plan on doing this? And he said, no. And he said, well, this is like almost impossible to do. So instead of cutting scenes like that, we tried to hang a lantern on that they were impossible. And so instead we have that shot from in front of them, of them just puppet heads bouncing, running theoretically, and then you hear the explosion off screen, and Fozzie just says, what an expensive looking explosion. So that's how we handled the logistic problems.
Was it just because Muppet legs look weird?
And there's puppeteers who have to operate, so for every puppet that's running, there's four puppeteers, one for each leg, one, you know, one for an arm and the other for an arm and the head. So if you're going to have 10 Muppets running away from something, that's 40 puppeteers all in a confined space in one wide shot. It's pretty impossible.
Well, that ruining my childhood memories any further. Do you?
Yes.
I mean, when you're acting alongside Muppets and puppeteers, I mean, is it difficult to do that? Is it easy to forget that the puppeteers are there, or is it a constant thing in your...
These guys are such amazing... I mean, puppeteers, they're at the top of their game in that world. These are the Muppeteers. You know, it doesn't get more prestigious than that. And so, no, it doesn't take longer than 2 minutes of talking to Kermit before you're looking at Kermit, you know, right in the eyes. Even as a grown man, it's just what happens.
I guess this next thing is with reteaming with Nicholas Stoller which you again working with on 5-Year Engagement.
Yes.
Next, is that relationship now? Do you just kind of do the ideas flow thick and fast now, or is there?
We share a comedy brain to some extent. But I think what's best about our relationship is our Venn diagram of taste largely intersects to a point that I've never dealt with anyone who it was that big a chunk. But maybe the most important parts are the slivers where they don't intersect, and that's where we really benefit each other. We have different experience in that he's been a comedy writer for a long time and is also a director, so he understands logistics and structure in a way that I don't, and I've been acting for a long time, as long as he's been writing, and so I am able to look at scenes and dialogue in a way of someone who actually has to say it. So while jokes might be really funny on the page, I'll be able to say, well, yeah, but that's not how a person actually talks. It's how a comedian talks. Or it might be if you read something funny, but it's not how a person talks. And then he might say, you know, well, that's too sappy. That's just because you like acting. That's not funny enough. You know what I mean? So we have, it's our differences that really help us, I think.
Yeah, and bringing, sort of just on that, bringing that kind of naturalistic kind of comedy into something like the Muppets world, do you find, is there a comedy, because your comedies prior to that had been very different to what we see in the Muppets.
Yes.
Was there resistance there from Disney at all?
It doesn't take long in talking to me about the Muppets before you realize like that I'm sincere about it. Yeah. You know, I think initially their nervousness was that I was doing this with some sense of irony.
Yeah.
Or that I was gonna try to like modernize the Muppets. It takes like a 10-minute. Muppet session to realize that, oh no, he loves the Muppets. That was really all it took. It was a little bit longer with the old guard because, I mean, I had just done a movie where I did full frontal nudity. And they've been doing this for 30, 40 years, some of them. But again, I think as soon as they saw the movie, they realized it was a total love letter to the Muppets.
And Kermit's never worn pants either.
Exactly, absolutely.
And I guess the other relationship you've had for a long time is with Judd Apatow as well. And you've got This Is 40 coming up.
Yeah.
So what's it like returning to a character that you created so many years ago? And then, is it an expanded role?
No, that is really, truly a cameo.
Oh, it's a cameo.
Yeah, and so that made it very easy. It was strictly fun. With a role like that, your job is just to come in and be funny, which is nice. It's zero pressure. You're not carrying the movie. You're not trying to forward the plot, even. It's just go in and be funny. So those were really fun days.
And with the success of the Muppets, is there a possibility of returning to the Muppet fray, or are you happy that you've just brought it back into the world?
Well, that was my goal. And my goal was to set the stage for the Muppets to do whatever they want. Mm. So, I would love to see the Muppets doing movies and TV shows and all that. But, I mean, my feeling about it is that I serve at the pleasure of Kermit.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
And look, the last thing I wanted to ask is I noticed that you're a recent convert to the social network of Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you find it...
I'm the best Twitterer of all time.
You are. Does that change the... I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
Does you find that changes the way that you now relate to... you know, the fanosphere, as it were, you know, the way that fans relate to you and you relate to the fans? Is it a more direct line?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but most of my tweets are about food.
They are.
They're food-related. And I find myself eating alone a lot of the time. So it's really nice for me to be able to feel like I have company at dinner. Because I just tweet what I'm eating, and then I get responses. Last night, I tweeted my favorite bread and cheese dishes. Mm. I've tweeted my top five favorite sandwiches. We've had a really heavy sandwich versus burrito debate.
Mm.
These are the kinds of things that I feel like the world wants to know.
Wants to know. And yeah. So you celebrated 500,000 followers, so clearly the world...
I did. Yep. That's the most followers of anyone on Twitter.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Yep. It's funny. It's like, what was it? Facebook is where you lie to your friends, and Twitter's where you'd be perfectly honest to strangers or something.
Right. That's funny.
Never heard that. That's interesting.
That's really funny.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, man. That was so fun.
Enjoy your trip.
All right.
Phenomena.